My name is Sam Bass, and on behalf of Connie Bowling, she should be making this speech. That's why I'm reading it. Warbirds and Review founder, coordinator, and executive producer and EA Warbirds of America, welcome to the 2020/21 Warbirds of America. This is our 20th year of displaying a significant historical aircraft alongside the people who own, maintain, and fly them. Starting from humble beginnings, the presentations have developed into the world-class production for you, here in the audience, and people around the world to enjoy. Thank you to those who provide the aircraft and to the dedicated volunteers who assist in this possible. Thanks to you, Ron and Diane Fagan, who have provided our Quonset Hut for us, and the Fighters World War II Museum in Granite Falls, Minnesota, for the beautiful building that you see. That makes the level of production possible. A special thank you to Jim Hagedorn and the Scarts Miracle-Gro Company for their long-lasting and continued support. This is all theirs here. Yep. Our mission is to recognize and honor the veterans who serve their country. As we entertain and educate, we continue to record history, heritage, and heroes in our own words. Thank you for being here to be part of this program, produced by Scott Kayette and talented Sleeping Dog production team. Now, please direct your attention to the Jumbotron for the introduction of our program today. This is the Dakota Territory Air Museum. They provided these airplanes, and they'll be talking to us. Thank you. I'll be right back with you.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Is this a B or a C?
Japan attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, pulling the United States openly into World War II. Just 12 days later, on December 20th, three squadrons of Allied fighter airplanes saw their first combat in the CBI, the China, Burma, India Theater. The unit was called the 1st American Volunteer Group, better known as the Flying Tigers. Each squadron was assigned 30 aircraft, mostly P-40s, Navy Buffaloes, and later P-51 Mustangs, and some RAF aircraft too. Their first combat contact was on 20 December 1941, only 12 days after Pearl Harbor. 7 months later, in July 1942, the volunteer group was disbanded and replaced by the 23rd Fighter Group, U.S. Army Air Corps. One of the 23rd Fighter Group pilots scored four air victories in a P-40 and one in a P-51 Mustang. That made him an ace.
The Dakota Territory Air Museum's newly restored P-51D Mustang, Miss Kitty, is a tribute to the original P-51K flown by Lieutenant Colonel John David Rosie Rosenbaum. It is painted in the distinctive black-tailed color scheme of the 75th Fighter Squadron, 23rd Fighter Group, 14th Air Force, nearly mirroring the museum's Lopes Hope Third. On November 11, 1944, Lieutenant Rosenbaum was part of a combat mission led by First Lieutenant Don Lopez. That mission was Don Lopez's final combat mission before rotating home. Both Lopez and Rosie had their last confirmed aerial victories of the war on this mission. Rosenbaum would have been flying a P-51C for his November 11 victory. Rosie was part of Lopez's formation. Like so many World War II fighter pilots, Lieutenant Colonel Rosenbaum named his Mustang after his sweetheart, Lavinia Kitty Harris, whom he later married. They were married for 65 years.
Well, I live in Waco, Texas, and we had two schools for the Air Force guys there, one for single engine and one for twin engine. Now, I always thought that the single engine guys were the very best, so when they were the guests at the USO, I went that night, and when a very good-looking young guy asked me to dance,
they're doing it early.
I looked at him, and I said, sweetest, cutest one here. We wrote letters when he first went over to China and started flying missions, and he named his airplane Miss Kitty. He wrote me a letter. He said, I'm going to name my airplane Miss Kitty.
How did that make you feel?
I was good. I was just a kid, and so it was like getting a ring.
Good morning, folks, again. We have three guests with us. We have Bruce Ames, who actually owns both of these aircraft. He is the Dakota Territory Air Museum. He has a C-53, a Mark 9 Spitfire, a four P-51s, a P-51 C and D, Mark 4, Harvard, P-40, F-8, Bearcat, Wildcat. He's got his own Air Force here, Hurricane, L-5, P-47D, and numerous other aircraft. This is Bruce. He's the second on my left. And Warren Patient was the Vice President of Operations of the Museum. He's the tall guy. Chief Pilot. He's a retired captain with the airlines, 20 years with a major airline, 35,000 hours of time. He's an honorable Canadian snowbird. He's an aerobatic competency evaluator for ICAST. He's qualified in too many aircraft to be able to describe it. He'll be able to give you a good description of the aircraft. We have Bruce Cravens. He's a historian for Air Corps Aviation, and he'll be talking about the two airplanes. Huh? I'm sorry, Chuck, what did I say? Well, that's good enough. All right, so we'll sit down, you guys pick your seat, and we'll start. Chuck, if you'll go on the other side, I'll appreciate it. Normally, when we start these, we talk about the airplanes, but we're going to talk about the people that flew the airplanes first. So would you tell us a little bit about Miss Kitty? And about Rosie.
Sure.
And then we'll have that video, short video.
All right. Yeah, the video is going to be kind of our main thing, and at some point, if I forget to say it later, I hope everybody will wave and say hi to Miss Kitty, because she just made that video about a month ago, and I'm sure she'll be anxious to see how everything turns out today. Obviously, she's a live wire still and doing well. So when Bruce and the Dakota Territory Air Museum and Air Corps Aviation out of Bemidji decided to do a couple of Mustangs, these airplanes were kind of bought as a pair, as a project from Bob May. And Lopes Hope was the first one we wanted to get done. And the significance of Lopes Hope for us was that Don Lopez was a friend of the museum and had a great story. And he was, for those of you who don't know, he was a curator in the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., and was a big part of the Udvar Hazy Center and the design. So this airplane was finished to tell that story and to honor Don, because he had helped us at our museum in Minot, and he was a friend of mine, and we were really proud to do that. In the process, we started learning about Rosie Rosenbaum and their association in China, and how they had a chance to be squadron mates, and they were friends and flew together down to, as you saw in the video, in the last, on Lopez's last mission. He was supposed to be done at 100 missions. He ended up flying two missions on the same day on November 11th of 44. So he ended up with 101 missions before he got sent back. But he got his last kill that day, and Rosenbaum got one too. So the paint job is always, you know, you're building an airplane, and you got a lot of time and money and a lot of your soul in it, and you're trying to figure out how to make it look absolutely the best you can, but you don't want to be like everybody else. And there's a lot of beautiful paint jobs, very significant paint jobs. We started looking at this Blacktail Mustang, and it got bannered around a little bit. And I think Casey Odegaard was the first one that sent Bruce a picture or something. I don't remember for sure, but boy, the more we looked at it, we thought, this is cool, and it's not being done. Nobody's doing the CBI other than the Flying Tiger and the Shark Teeth and everything. And when this airplane was first finished and we flew it and looked at it, we went, wow, that's just absolutely stunning to me, anyway, it was. And so this airplane, obviously, because of what we've been looking at throughout the whole history of the rebuild of the two airplanes, we decided to do the same thing with this. And I personally am really happy and excited with the pair of airplanes. When you see them together flying, when you see them on the ground like this, they're awesome. And they tell a great story. And so, I mean, there's been hundreds of Mustangs go through this square, and a lot of people know more about Mustangs than I do, and we'll be willing to answer questions and everything. But I'm not going to go into the particulars on them other than this is a P-51C, and it would have been built in California. Dallas. No, Dallas. Okay, and the B model is the same airplane built in California, right, Englewood? So that's a C, and this is a D with better visibility. Flying the airplanes, they're similar airplanes. The C is faster, but it's very difficult to see out of the cockpit, which makes it not only hard to dogfight in, but kind of hard on the ground and for maneuvering around. So the D kind of became the preferred airplane for the dogfighters, even though it was a little less performance. I think other than that,
We got a little short video from Miss Kitty, and she's going to tell us their life story, I guess. It's interesting.
It's a 14-minute video that was just done, as I said, last month, and I think it's really neat because she talks about being an Air Force wife starting in World War II and going through his
and
entire
she's being
career.
Interviewed by a daughter, by the way.
That's right. Daughter was a pretty accomplished producer, somebody told me that she produced the sitcom Cheers or something, I think.
Scotty, if you'll roll that, we'd appreciate it.
Yep.